Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Good Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel 34, if you want to open to that. And we begin with prayer. Lord Jesus, great shepherd of the sheep, we thank you that you continually call and gather and feed your flock and bring them back to your loving lordship and care. We pray, Lord, that you would do that even now as we gather around your word. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So who is the greatest sheep? Anybody out there? Are you the greatest sheep? No? You are? Okay. Wait a minute. Hey, you just had the message now. Come on. The greatest sheep, right? Kind of live in a culture that says, me first, right? I'm the greatest. Like when you go to Black Friday, what are people doing? Oh, yes, go ahead. Oh, yeah, I know I got here 3 hours before you, but I just wanted to make sure that you could get first in line so that you could get the gift that I want to give my child, and I could go home empty-handed. Right? That's what we do. Right? No, get out of my way! What are you doing? This is my spot. I'm here first. Get out of the way. I want to eat the food. Right? I don't know if I do this recently. Maybe I do still do. I don't know. We used to, being young, we have to restrain ourselves from eating all the food, right? And the dinner was called because we'd be so hungry. We have to be told to wait and share, right? And maybe for dessert, whoever cut the pie or the pizza or whatever, it would be the last one to choose, right? To make sure that they cut it fairly. Right? So it'll be enough for everybody. Maybe when you've had some of those problems at Thanksgiving dinners, or maybe in your own dinners, but maybe for us, maybe not so much, because we come in a world, a nation where we have so much to eat, right, and to wear, and to drink, and to live in, right? So we might not understand it, but I think we do understand when Jesus tells us that we're not here for ourselves. We get that. We might not understand a lot what it's like to not have food and clothing and shelter, but we do understand and are convicted when Jesus tells us, I gave you that to give to somebody else. You have abundance so that the people in need can be provided for. I'm using you as the good shepherd to reach out to those in need. That's why I'm blessing you. Thanksgiving was always good, right? It's a good holiday, but you can't help but also fall into this me-first mentality sometimes, right? And there's a little frustrated at times because I had to spend my Thanksgiving, right, to visiting my dad in the hospital, and then my sister was in the hospital too. And it just seemed like, oh, this is supposed to be my time, right? And I'm trying to understand, well, is that really what Thanksgiving is all about? Being thankful that I have so much and I am so blessed, right? Kind of misses the giving part of it, doesn't it? And he blesses us so that we can give to others. And this is really the problem in our Old Testament reading in Ezekiel. The sheep, they think that they're the greatest, right? In our beginning of the chapter 34, you see some very important verses that aren't mentioned in our reading in the bulletin. But basically, the shepherds, the leaders, the religious leaders, the priests, they're condemned for only caring about themselves. Me first was their mentality, wasn't it? It's all about me. They cared about feeding themselves more than the sheep. They were living for selfish gain. God tells them, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. With force and harshness you have ruled them. And the flock becomes scattered and vulnerable to prey of wild animals. But what we really mean is false beliefs, right? Other people that want to pull the sheep aside, bring them into their own belief system, away from the good shepherd. Unless we think that it's about just a shepherd bashing today, we also see it's the sheep that had this problem, doesn't it? In verse 17, "As for you, my flock, says the Lord, I will judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. The sheep themselves are at fault." It's not enough for you to feed a good pasture. You must tread down the rest of the pasture. It's not enough for you to drink the clear water. You must muddy the rest with your feet. There are those male rams that were strongest that would push aside those weak sheep so that they could get the best grazing land, and push aside the other sheep so they could drink the cleanest water. And if that wasn't enough, they would muddy the rest as they left. See what was happening to the sheep. Me first. It's all about me. I'm stronger and I'm bigger. I have more. Now I'm going to use it to get what I want. To push you around. I will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Verse 21, "Because you push with side and shoulder, thrust out all the weak with your horns, so you scattered them abroad." That's what they were doing. We do that a lot as sheep. You think, I have my position so that I can get my way, right? I've been here so long, you gotta listen to me. I pay so much to the church, you gotta listen to me, or else. And who suffers the most? The weak. The weak suffer the most. The ones who need the help the most. The ones that we should be speaking up for and defending, they suffer the most. That's what happens when sheep don't live like sheep. Right? The Israelites, they weren't living like sheep. What do good sheep do? They follow the shepherd. They listen to the shepherd. They trust in the provision of the shepherd. Because without the shepherd, they're toast. They're nothing. They end up prey to wild animals. Right? End up starving. They can't find the pastures. The reason why the Israelites turn to the me-first mentality and the shepherds and the sheep is because they forgot about their good shepherd, who cares for them and provides for them all that they need, so they don't have to worry about trying to push people over and hoard and accumulate, because the good shepherd is there feeding them, leading them, providing for them everything they need. So that's what they did. They thought, I gotta solve this myself. I gotta use my own sheep strength. Right? Not a very strong strength, is it? You ever see a bottle of pills and it says extra sheep strength on it? Don't get those pills. I don't do it yet. Right? This is what happens when we try to lead on our own strength. You think, I gotta provide for myself, and the stuff I get is just for me. Because I gotta look out for rule number one. Because no one else is looking out for me, apparently. So at whatever cost, I'm going to get what I want to protect what I believe to be true. The shepherds and the sheep do this. Sometimes as a church, especially the Western church, reading this book from Mission India, some of the missionaries there. You see, one of our problems is that, not that we don't do anything, it's that we do things, but it's on our own strength. It's like we're using the sheep strength. It's like a guy trying to fly a kite, and he's running around so hard, and he gets frustrated because he can't get the stupid kite off the ground. What's the problem? There's no wind. Not a good idea, right? Problem isn't what he's doing. He's doing the right thing. So he doesn't have what he really needs to fly the kite. In the church, what we really need is the strength of our shepherd, isn't it? We can have our programs, we can have our meetings, we can have our whatever. If we're trying to do it on our own strength, it will never fly. We'll never get off the ground. We'll just end up frustrated. But in the strength of our good shepherd, amazing things happen, don't they? Even those things that aren't recognized by the world as significant, even those things that aren't seemingly strong and wonderful deads, ministering to someone who's sick, helping someone who's hungry, helping someone in prison, who the world would forget. But through the strength of the Good Shepherd, not only are we motivated to go do this, but he's able to work through these small and insignificant things to do amazing, extraordinary things for his kingdom. To strengthen sheep, to bring sheep to him. To see that they do have someone who cares for them and loves them. See what happens when the sheep go on their own strength? They end up in exile in our Old Testament reading. They're recently going to exile in Babylon. In chapter 33, there's a messenger who comes and says, Jerusalem has been destroyed. It's all over. It's clearly for them, it was all over at that time. Why did it get all over? Because they tried to do it themselves. They forgot the Lord God. It happens in our church today when we try to do it ourselves and we forget the Lord. It won't happen. It's all over. But Jesus intervenes, doesn't he? It's easy to read this parable in Matthew 25 and to think, it's all about what we do. Man, I gotta work really hard to be a good person or else Jesus will throw me in the fire, right? But you gotta use what is clear in Scripture to interpret what is unclear. It is clear that we're saved by grace. We know this, don't we? It's clear that we live by faith. It's clear in our Old Testament reading that God is the one doing the rescuing and the saving and the delivering, right? Not the sheep. The sheep failed. The shepherds failed. So many times. In the desert, they complain, right? In Egypt, they complain. They're free, they complain. They get to the promised land, they get complacent. Then they complain and they lose some of the things, right? Eventually they get kings, they complain about that. They get prophets, they complain about that. Sheep cannot save themselves. They need the shepherd. So that is why it is so incredibly obvious that God is the one doing the acting, is it not? In these verses from Ezekiel 34, in these 13 verses, how many times is God in the subject? Tell my confirmants, if you want to say the gospel, put God in the subject, right? He's the one doing the acting. Where are the receivers in the gospel? 11, I myself will search for sheep and seek them out. 12, I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them. 13, I will bring them out and gather them. I will feed them. 14, I will feed them with good pasture. 15, I myself will be the shepherd. I myself will make them lie down. 16, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them in justice. 17, I will judge between sheep and sheep. 20, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. 22, I will rescue my sheep. I will judge between sheep. 23, I will set up over one shepherd over them. David, the son of David, he will feed them. He will feed them and be their shepherd. 24, I, the Lord, will be their God. My servant David, I, the Lord, have spoken. Do you get that he's trying to make a point? Right? The rescuing and the saving and the delivering and the gathering and the searching and the calling and the redeeming is all by the work of the Good Shepherd, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, isn't it? That's clear. It's not written in a parable. It's right there for you. Right? He's the greatest sheep. Even though he didn't look like it, he's the greatest shepherd. Bore your sins. Bore your strayingness, all your rebelliousness. That's who you have as your shepherd. How's it going with yourself as a shepherd? Right? Probably not so good. Or somebody else. But with Jesus as your good shepherd, there's eternal life. There's forgiveness. There's resurrection. Right? So as Christians, we don't begin with our human effort. We begin with the grace of God. That's how we live. It's how we interpret everything we read. It's how we interpret ourselves and our fellow Christians. We begin with grace. And then we find the strength to live as sheep. As joyful sheep. Not with a whip to be driven, but with confidence. And joy because we have a good shepherd who's leading us and caring for us and providing for us. Who will put himself last. So that we would know to put ourselves last. He didn't come and say, me first. He came and said, you first. You weak sheep, go first. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to die for you. And when I rise again, it will be for you. Because I still love you. Still love you. Even though you're smelly sheep. Right? Because I'm your shepherd. You belong to me. And I can't change my love for you. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it where you failed. I'm going to come and be your perfect obedient sheep. I'm going to be your perfect obedient shepherd. And it's the grace of God from our shepherd that changes us. So that then we reflect what our good shepherd does. It's not that we're living to earn his favor, but we live to reflect what he's done. Our identity changes our actions. Our actions don't make us sheep or goat. Our actions flow from the grace of God, who in the following chapters of Matthew will lay down his life for the sheep. If it was all up to us, Jesus wouldn't have to die on the cross. So throw that out of your mind. You live for the lost and the least because you have a Savior who did exactly all of those things for you. You live to show grace and mercy because your good shepherd showed you those things. And that's why on the last day you probably won't even remember, will you? Because we just do it. We just do it. Because we know this is who we are and why we're here. It's to help the sheep. To help the sheep and to be the good shepherd to them with our hands and feet, with our resources, with our love, with our words. May the good shepherd, the good and faithful shepherd of the sheep, bless and keep you in his arms now and forever until that day that you rejoice to stand before him forgiven and as his. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all human understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.